they think it betrays like the Christian idea of the coming of Christ was supposed to be in that generation. It certainly was. And he did come to that generation. And it was preached to that generation that if they would repent, the kingdom of God would be restored to them. But the nation did not repent. But even this is the Lord's doing. But sometimes God puts out those conditional things where if you will do this, then this. But it does not mean that that is God's intention, that it's going to happen. It's just saying, well, if you could, if you would, then it would be. And in fact, there's this is somewhat conditional I'm not a scholar of Greek, okay? But from what I understand of the Greek, that the till indicates a conditional situation. So it is not the whole coming of the kingdom, but it is certainly a vision of the kingdom of God in power. What do we see in the kingdom of God? We see Christ in his glorified state, and we see with him Moses and Elias, who is Elijah. That's the Greek transliteration of the name Elijah. And they were talking with Jesus. Now people would say, because you know, anyone who understands my teaching understands I teach the dead are in their graves. The dead are dead and in their graves. And they say, well, then what about Moses and Elijah? You know, didn't that prove that they're in heaven? Well, it proved they appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, but it does not prove that they have ascended into heaven. Because as it is written in the book of the Gospel of John, it says, no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. It's in John chapter 3. And you can look that up. No man has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man. He has ascended into heaven, but no other man has. And if these had, the exceptionalism of their having ascended temporarily would only be destroyed if everyone went to heaven. And the exceptionalism of Christ ascending into heaven and being the only one ascending into heaven would be totally destroyed if everyone goes to heaven, or everyone who believes go to heaven, or anybody does not remain in the grave as it is taught in the New Testament. They are in their graves. David is not ascended into the heavens. His grave is with us to this day. They sleep. When Jesus raised people from the dead, he says, they are sleeping. He doesn't say, they're not here. I'll bring them back. No, no, no. They're asleep because they are where they are. And it's a question of like, well, what about the mechanics of it? It's not a mechanical process. The soul is not a mechanical thing. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he became a living soul. And therefore, it's not a mechanical thing that needs to have a space. You know, people say, well, what about the bodies that go into the sea and get gobbled up? Well, it says in the book of Revelation, the sea's going to give up the dead which were in it. Their positions are somewhat arbitrary. If there's nothing, it's not about the material man being raised. Though a man will be raised from corruption to an incorruptible body, if you be in Christ, or from corruption into a destructible body. But from it, whether it be the molecules of the sea that God draws together from the place where they fell, or the dirt of the ground, or from wherever he draws their soul, from wherever he puts, it's kind of like golf. You know, it's like, imagine the life is the golf ball. And this is a strange analogy, I know. The golf ball. And it gets hit to right on there on the green. And it's somebody else's turn. And so what do? You pull up the ball and you leave your marker. And the marker is not the ball itself, but it marks its position. Well, think of the dead in that regard. That the life has been taken away by God, represented by the ball. The body, it's part of the earth. It's there. And it's mostly the idea of where they fell that is significant. Because they will rise from where they fell. Or from where their body is, whatever. You know, the blood of thy brother Abel calleth to me from the earth. It's not a question so much of mechanics as it is God's knowledge. He knows where to raise them up from. But this is an aspect of the kingdom of God. And so, what do we say about Moses and Elijah? Well, there are two possibilities that I see. To be consistent with the teachings of the Bible, would be either they had been transported to the future from their own time to see Christ, to see Messiah, and maybe in their perception they were just meeting with God again. not with, you know, a man, but he, notice he was transfigured, and then they see Moses and Elijah with him. Moses and Elijah were not present with Christ as a flesh man. Interesting. So they would not have experienced him according to the flesh, but as a man raised. And that's the other possibility, that they were temporarily raised from the dead. As after the resurrection of Christ, many were raised from the dead temporarily, and then many saints came forth out of their graves. And I say temporarily because it can be nothing else, because no man has ascended into heaven but he that came down from heaven. The resurrection of the dead is going to be a single event, not many events scattered, you know, throughout the day, every day, for thousands of years, just a little resurrection here, a little resurrection there. That's not how it's taught in the New Testament. The New Testament says that there's going to be a day when he will come and the trumpet will sound and he will call them forth out of their graves. And all that are in their graves will hear his voice. That's funny, because according to the way most people teach, there's nobody in the grave to hear him. He's going to have to bring them down from heaven. The day comes when I'll bring everyone out of heaven and we're going to come back and claim our bodies. They're going to claim their bodies. They're going to come and claim their bodies. Where did I leave that body? Oh, yeah, it's over there. Oh, look at it. It's just a skeleton. Gosh, why did I come back? That's the point. It's like, if the person's already with God, then why come back for the body? As it says of Christ in the Psalms, a prophecy concerning him, thou shalt not leave his soul in hell, but the rest of our souls will remain in hell. And hell there only refers to the grave, the place where the dead abide and wait. And the dead know not anything, as according to the wisdom of Solomon is said in the book of Ecclesiastes. These are important things because this is the doctrine that was taught by the apostles and prophets. The doctrines that were taught subsequently are perverse, leaven, destructive. And we'll see how that leaven works as we finish this chapter 9. Because it has its work, and it's an evil work. And then the voice from the clouds had come and said, this is my beloved son, hear him. I say, to those people who deny the distinction between the Father and the Son, I say, what, is God being deceptive here? Why does he do this, speak a voice from the cloud, when if the Father and the Son are one and the same, with no distinction between them, then why would he do this? Why not just say, I am God, hear me? Is it just out of humility? I suppose one could make that argument, but it is more just reasonable to say that God is doing this to demonstrate to us something that we should understand the distinction between them.